All right, we'll call this meeting to order. It is Wednesday, September 24th, 2014. It is the Oceano Community Services District. Can I get a roll call, Marie?
Director White.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and I had a couple subjects I wanted to cover. First one, I think we were all a little upset with the city of Arroyo Grande when they dumped the bottom of the tank and some 30,000 gallons of water was lost to the ground, but ultimately it wasn't put to a beneficial use. But I wanted to kind of show you some perspective with your system. 30,000 gallons in one day is a lot of water. Your system, you use about 900 acre feet a year. It is likely that your system is leaking as much as 10% each year. That's 90 acre feet. When you calculate what that is on a daily basis, it's 80,000 gallons a day. I think we all needed that reality check to see that that is a lot of water. That's just, sure, a lot of water that's being lost due to a leaky system. The other subject I wanted to cover, today's paper had an article about your election. There's one sentence that jumped out to me, and I've been to all these meetings, and I haven't seen this myself, so I'd like to know where it is. It says, talking about Mr. Ogren, and it says, Ogren has laid out a long-term plan to assess district needs, financial resources, and how best to implement projects and operations. When did he do that, and where is it? So I look forward to that. And I also wanted to give you some perspective on, you know, I understood your arguments and your logic to hire Mr. Ogren, his vast experience, his connections, that sort of thing. But I'm seeing that he's not doing the accountant's job or not the duties that she did. Ms. McGrath is preparing the payroll where Ms. Hodson did. And then the other thing that is interesting is Mr. Ogren was the public works director for the county for 7 years and is intimately experienced and knowledgeable about the IRWM and the Arroyo Grande Waterway Management Plan that you had presentations from the county about. And instead of giving those presentations himself, the county has billed the taxpayers of this district through the Zone 1A. The waterway management presentation cost $386.06 for Mr. Lee to come here and give that presentation. And Ms. Berg charged $293.34 to the flood control zone. And I think Mr. Ogren could have done the presentations and there wouldn't have been a charge to those funds from the county.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other public comment? Mr. Edwards, good evening.
Thank you, President Guerrero. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. It's nice to see all of you. You may know that this weekend, this upcoming weekend, is Savor the Central Coast in Santa Margarita. It's become quite an affair. It's received national, if not international, attention. Anybody here going by chance, other than perhaps Mr. Ogren? Mr. Minery? Savor the Central Coast? In any event, Santa Margarita, of course, is in large part the beneficiary of this fine event. And I think about Oceano, and you have an upcoming event, October 16th through 19th, a similar kind of a weekend, almost a four-day weekend, Huckfest. You may have heard about Huckfest. I'm not sure, and here's the contrast, I'm not sure the same economic benefits are accruing to Oceano with Huckfest that accrue to Santa Margarita and Savor the Central Coast. Why not? You could have all that Savor provides Santa Margarita. You just have to have the vision. Think big. Instead of Huckfest, You could bring back the history, the rich history that Oceano has. And all of the great components, the coffee rice house sitting in the middle of a mobile home park, could be a great asset for visitors to Oceano. The whole Dunite story, Ansel Adams, John Steinbeck, literary arts, visual arts. Oceano could have all of this. So I challenge this board. What are you doing about it?
We had 7 customer service calls. We continue to replace meters, old meters, especially after we had meter reads this past week. Replacing the old meters, the inefficient meters, the meters that are stuck. We've continued to improve the alleyways by raising the boxes, putting concrete in it. When you raise a box, put concrete, it supports the box. Vehicles do travel over them, and they can break service lines. So we've been working in the alleyways quite a bit. We had sewer cleaning approximately 8,500 feet. We continue the sewer cleaning. It got held up a little bit due to meter reads, rereads, comment codes. So that takes about a week in itself when you're doing reread meter reads and rereads and highs and lows and all that. So we've been pretty busy. Everything's been running really well. I got no complaints. System's doing what's intended to do.
My only question is what's the ETA on the truck we're buying? Any idea yet?
The truck is a 12 to 14 week from the date it was purchased.
Okay.
So
which is coming right up. I think Marie's going to the bank here in the next day or two, I wanted to say. Or Tony, is it Tony going to the bank?
He already put in the order.
Oh, did he? Okay.
I just got to go get the money.
You got to go get the money, okay.
But it has to be built from the factory.
Right. Excellent.
Now, are they going to deliver that out, or do we have to go get it?
No, my understanding, it's getting delivered.
Okay. Well, when it does get here, we want to see some pictures of it.
We'll invite you.
Okay.
Any other questions for Tony? Yes, Karen?
How's my generator coming along?
The generator, it's still in the same process as it was last time we spoke.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Your mic's off, Pablo.
Quick addition. So on Monday we got from the district's engineer a proposal in order to move the generator efforts into the next phase of work. That proposal I have not yet reviewed, and Tony and I are going to look at it and sit down. So we do have the proposal to move the next phase of work and would anticipate coming back to your board for review and consideration of that proposal in the near future.
Thank you.
We also had some training classes we attended. We also took our distribution test over the weekend. So myself and Casey Stewart. So hopefully you'll see the operator certifications get a little higher.
Do you know the results yet of those tests?
We will know by November 3rd.
Okay. Well, good luck with that.
Yes.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
Anything to add, Pablo? All right, we'll move on to the Board of Directors and Outside Committees. First is Director Angelo. Good evening, Ms. Angelo. Wait, you're number one on the list.
I did not go to a meeting.
Okay.
Honestly, I can say that.
Then we'll move to Ms. Blackburn.
I did not have any meetings either.
All right. I did have a very short meeting, the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. That was last Wednesday where we surplus some items. There was an announcement out of closed session. We received $50,000 that was paid to the district from U.S. Energy. If you'll recall, this was the cogen system. By way of background, U.S. Energy had sold a lot of cogeneration systems that are failing. They are in... or pending, they're either in or pending, I can't remember, bankruptcy proceedings, and we were unable to find insurance coverage for them. And so that's how we got $50,000 from them. Of course, it's not significant considering the amount that was invested, but it was what we were able to get back. We did receive that check. There is still one party that remains in that default judgment proceedings are moving forward on. But I do want to announce, and I think that it, and I will, of course, be reporting back on it, coming up next week. Next Wednesday is September 24th. We will be entertaining a professional services contract with WSC. This is regarding a planning study to evaluate a satellite water treatment facility. This will be away from the Oceano.
But today is September the 24th.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Then that's what I get, yes. Best and the brightest. October 1st, our first meeting. Thank you, Marie. At our next meeting, we'll be entertaining, we're going to be starting a planning study to evaluate a satellite water treatment facility. This will be the beginning of the recycled water project. This is what we're trying to do, obviously, is I think most of us are aware, there's a bond measure that's up in November. And we're looking at a possible cost of about $150,000 for the planning study. We're expecting 50% of it to come from grant funding. Arroyo Grande is committed to funding.
It's a positive thing. I did go to a meeting on Zone 3 Advisory Committee. Was held in Grover Beach last Thursday.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, Zone 3 held their biannual meeting. Yeah, that's right. Biannual meeting, bimonthly, excuse me. I knew there was something wrong. at Grover Beach City Hall. And the discussion was on, of course, the low reserve response plan that has been the work of the TAC meetings and the Northern Cities Management and several other groups have been working on when the reservoir gets to a certain point, what will the response be? I think the point at 20,000 acre feet has been established, but what's going to happen at when the dam drops to 20,000 acre feet of water. So that was, and Pavel Ogren can speak more about that. And then there was a little bit of discussion regarding the action that the Board of Supervisors ultimately took. City Council Member Vardis from PISMO wanted more clarity and to want to know why the Board of Supervisors had not approved just what the Zone 3 had put forth in front of them and actually had approved a little bit more oversight. So it was a very successful meeting and a historical one, too, because Oceano has never been the co-chair or the chair of the Zone 3 since the dam was built. And so this year, Oceano is co-chair for the first time since the dam was built. And next year, Oceano will hold the chair on the body for a year. But the chair was 15 minutes late, so I got to open the meeting. So it was a historical meeting. First time Oceano ever chaired the Zone 3 Advisory Committee for 15 minutes.
It was just practice. That's right.
So it was a great meeting.
Practice for next year.
Practice.
Anything else, Ms. Lucy?
Nope, that's it.
Karen?
Yeah, the major meeting I attended, well, no, that's not right, but was the Five Cities Fire Authority meeting. And a couple of things. Number one, we heard a pretty comprehensive report on the delay in the dispatch system, and we feel that there has been some remedies in that the CHP, which gets the 911 calls, will now call directly, if it's in the South County on a fire, will call directly to Grover Dispatch. So that takes CAL FIRE and the sheriffs and everybody else out of the loop, trying to get some speed on that. Second thing was next month we will interview, unless things change, four candidates for fire chief. We have 20-some candidates. The service we hired whittled that down to 9 prospective candidates, and we all reviewed the 9. And there's some really good people.
Excellent.
Really, really good people. That among the things I worried about was somebody wanting to move to our area just to vacation. and we kind of, that was not a reason to be the fire chief of the Five Cities Fire Authority. And then last Monday, I attended the Oceano Advisory Committee, and a couple of things out of that, we studied some plans and stuff and dealt with. On the Strand, there's at least two more vacation rentals, and we spent a lot of time discussing the parking problems that are created. And apparently with vacation rentals, you're supposed to only rent to the number of people you have reasonable parking. And certain people are advertising there's plenty of on-street parking up in the Strand, and it's not true. And when you rent to 12 or 13 people, you get real problems for the people who are full-time residents there. And we also had an incident where the fire truck had trouble getting in to a fire. And that's even more critical because there's a lot of wood in those houses. If the wind is coming from the ocean and it gets going, it could go. And the other thing, we agreed to have a Christmas tree lighting contest. Hmm. I mean, Christmas decorating contest with six different categories, and they'll get to the beach has been red tagged. Oh. And it can no longer, the front end is falling apart, and I heard this today, it can no longer go down to the dunes and beach. And if we don't have a vehicle, we can't go. And twice, Beaches and Parks has rejected our request for application to help us repair that, and I don't know what's going to happen. I feel really bad about it. We all do. But if we don't have a vehicle that's... it's safe to take down to the dunes, we can't go down.
Right, we can't risk our firefighters.
But
no.
Well, are they going to have any coverage for the poor souls down there? I mean,
Cal
if
Fire.
It's not going to... Oh, so yeah. Cal Fire, but
well,
they don't...
Well, Cal Fire's... I mean, we go down there on an automatic mutual aid as the closest fire truck, but it's Cal Fire's responsibility. It's not in our fire district. We don't get any tax money for that. So, but they took it to some, had the vehicle checked out, and they say it's not safe to take to the dunes.
It
could break down at any minute.
The liability falls within Parks and Recs, correct? It doesn't fall within the district for not providing a service in a certain area, correct?
Yeah.
So the liability stays with the state of California Parks and Recs. That's what I care about. Thank you.
All right. Moving on to item number 9, we'll take a public comment on the consent agenda. Is there any public comment on the consent agenda? We have the review and approval of minutes and cash disbursements. Mr. Edwards, good evening.
Yes, thank you, President Guerrero. I do have a couple comments on the cash disbursements. I'm a little confused. The last I recall, your board discussing the Nossman Law Firm, that's Henry Weinstock, that you were going to wind that down. I see that there's about a $2,400 bill for that law firm, which is actually about five times their normal when they do bill. So I'm kind of curious about that. Why are they being paid more or not less? A related question, Fugro is back on here. I have to imagine it's NCMA related. And I would again ask your board, What is your role in the NCMA? Presumably your general manager has been able to advise you on that. I've suggested before that in accordance with your agreement that you notice your NCMA partners. There's a six-month noticing period that gives you the ability to go back and renegotiate the deal. You are not getting a good deal right now. That's clear. And you have the ability to change the agreement. But you have to notice them. You have to give them proper notice. And I would also suggest or suspect that your general manager would be advising you on that as well as counsel.
You know, the more money you spend on consultants and legal fees, is less money you have available for pipes. Pipes over paper. That should be your mantra. Not the other way around. Right now, you're committing resources to paper. And you have much greater needs. I don't need to go into the detail. Not only do you need pipes over paper, it looks like you have right now payroll over pipes. You know, once again, and I have to raise Mr. Ogren. He's been here 2 months. $40,000, $1,000 a day. That's twice Geislin money. And we thought that was high at the time. You know, how can you put new pipes in the ground when you're paying your general manager $20,000 a month? Please tell me how that's possible. You know, Mr. Ogren, well, we heard that... that people come here to vacation, well, they also come here to retire. And that's exactly what Mr. Ogren's doing. He's come to retire on the taxpayers of this district. 4 years and he's gone. That's his contract. That's when he retires. It's pretty clear. It was clear when you hired him, and it's clear today. You know, I don't know. You have an obligation to put pipes in the ground, and you're not doing it. What are you going to do differently?
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Is there any other public comment? I saw Ms. Naylor came forward. Is that for this session or for the next one? It's okay, Jeff. You can.
It's for items not on the agenda.
Okay. And then.
Did I miss general? That was my question. Did I miss the general public comment?
Yeah, if you want to do it at item 10, after the consent agenda, Giselle, that'll be fine.
Okay.
All right, but hold on a second. We're at the consent agenda. Okay. Then being no further public comment on the consent agenda, is there a discussion or motion?
We have the, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to move, so go ahead.
When does that section of?
So as an item associated with litigation, we can certainly put it on the closed session agenda for next meeting.
Great, thank you.
Okay.
Jennifer, did you have a motion?
Yeah. I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, passes by a vote of 5-0. We'll move on to item number 10, which are the business items. There are two business items, the solid waste collection and recycling services for Halcyon and the discussion regarding the drought emergency resolution. Yes. I was going to call public comment. Okay. So Giselle had, Ms. Naylor had public comment. Ms. Naylor?
I did. It's not all bad either.
Why don't you come on forward, Giselle?
My name's Giselle Naylor. I'm a homeowner in Oceano. I also have property in Cambria, so the water issues are very big, and there's big changes happening very quickly because my general understanding is that the entire county is trying to form some kind of regional plan and to figure out the best way to use those water resources and pool them out amongst the various communities. And back in 2010, I decided to look at the water contracts where Oceano was either a beneficiary of the contract or a party to the contract. And there were some deliberate misstatements made by Molly Thurman, which were her explanation why she didn't identify in closed session. She's required by the Public Records Act to at least identify the parties. And she would use the quote, the Santa Maria water litigation, to deny access to contracts where a government entity was a party to the contract. Those contracts had been completed. So I knew when Mr. Ogren came on, those issues were going to rise up again, because I want, ideally, as a homeowner, as a resident, I would want all those contracts organized and made available to the public so that when they have to make decisions on the larger regional water plans, they can weigh in with an educated background. They ought to be able to educate themselves with all available public documents. So when I first spoke with Mr. Ogren, I think it was like his first day on the job, he did indicate that he would not be averse to having those contracts scanned in to the website. So I've renewed my public records contract, my public records request for contracts. And the only issue that I have is that I'm being told conflicting information by Celia. Celia is stating that Mr. Ogren is ordering her not to scan in the contracts. That's an inexpensive way for residents and the public to get copies of the contract. They can print them out at home. They can study them at home. And it's cheaper than paying 20 cents a page, because we're talking about thousands of pages. And there are people that are willing, capable, and eager to scan through 1,000 pages of water information. So I'm in the process of looking at those contracts. And they're historical.
Thank you, Ms. Naylor.
The historical documents.
Ms. Tacker, good evening again.
Hi again, I'm Julie Tacker. And just to piggyback on your report, Mr. Guerrero, the recycling item was before Arroyo Grande last night, and they did pull it for a small discussion, so they did approve their expenditure, and you might catch that in the replay. Read the staff report, and we can all get up to speed on that. I'm interested in your two agenda items, 10A and 10B. I don't quite know what the staff report is going to say other than what I can read. So not sure where the recommendation is going to go, so I can't fully comment on them, but I'll listen and learn when you're done. This is also my opportunity to speak to future agenda items, and what I would have thought I'd seen on tonight's agenda were the future agenda items raised 2 weeks ago. You have the pro forma, the Zone 11A assessment funds letter to the sheriff about homeless cleanup.
The board, the staff report pretty well outlines the issue. We will be receiving over $9,000 in franchise fees. That was a result that neither the garbage company nor the district recognized that the halcyon fees were being paid to the county. So the sanitary district has helped reconcile that and worked with the county auditor in order to determine the fees that need to be turned over to the district. In moving forward, there's only a limited number of options, and the staff report outlined a basis for where your board might consider an exemption for the town of Halcyon. No exception, and then the third is the alternative where no exception, but working with the garbage company under their existing policies for those property owners who use combined containers. It's my understanding, and Director White certainly was there, that Halcyon's not looking for any special exemptions or anything. And with that, if, you know, based on that being the case, then my recommendation would be to provide no exception and to work with the garbage company to help address it for all the property owners. And that concludes my report.
Why don't I turn over to Ms. White first so she can weigh in with what Halcyon thinks.
Well, I checked with a couple of people who do not presently take garbage service. I checked with the leader of the Temple of the People, and then it was discussed at the Halcyon Advisory Committee, and their conclusion after all this is, whatever you guys want to do, we don't care. If we have to pay more money, fine.
The Halcyon
if we get
way.
It's the Halcyon way, yeah. So whatever needs to be done will be done, and we're fine with it.
My thought, and it was identified in the staff report, is we did have a resident of Oceana who wanted to be exempted from it. We did not have the ability to do that, and it's just that we did treat everybody equal. That would be
my thought.
I
support that, too.
And I don't know how the rest of the board feels. This is the initial discussion on it.
I mean, why cause more challenges when it's just a matter of changing for housing. And I should add, I'm supporting something that's going to give me a slight decrease in my monthly fee. And the only question I have on that is, it's very difficult for the sanitation service to get their trucks through Halcyon. They have to turn some around, they have to back them up, they have to sneak around. And I don't know how, if we have a decrease in our rates to match Oceano, are they going to be losing some money even though there's a few more customers?
Well, they're here.
I know. They're laughing. And it was really fun today because they had four different trucks.
Yeah, in terms of the trucks having to sneak around, because we use right side automated trucks, they have to go down the right side of every street to pick something up. So it looks really strange. Sometimes they'll go down, back up, and then go down the other side just to be able to get them. It's a function of cul-de-sacs and dead-end roads and all those kind of things. And we don't do it just in Halcyon. We do it in every city that we service. So it's just part of the drill. In terms of the revenue aspect, I went through and did a process, and assuming everybody that has to sign up for service in Halcyon signs up, I think it came out to be within $5 a year of money, because the rates are lower, but you get more people.
Yeah.
So it just means that the people that haven't subscribed to garbage service will now have to. Those that have been subscribing, they'll see their rates go down because the Oceano District rates are lower than Halcyon's.
Yeah.
It's and a negligible impact to the trash company.
Yeah, it'd be marginal. There's nothing.
And then I understand groups of people can band together to get a larger...
Yeah, our policy is that three properties can go together and get a bin and share it, as long as they're contiguous, as long as they're attached to each other in some method. Uh-huh. And there are, I know there's a couple, that, at least on Halcyon Road, I think there's three residences that all have one service. So, I mean, it's being done already, so it's just a question of making sure that everybody has some place to put their trash so they're not putting it somewhere else.
Yeah, well, they all do because...
Yeah, when we drive it, I don't see it. It's not, you know, lying around in the alleys or in backyards or anything. They're handling it now. It's just a matter of adhering to the Oceano mandatory ordinance.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Whatever
works.
Ms. Blackburn, I think, has some comments. She
was leaning forward to the microphone.
Oh,
so.
No. I just support
staff recommendation.
Yes, that we do the service for Halcyon, but leave the
direction. Implement the policy. Okay, I think that's the direction. Anybody disagree? All right.
No.
We'll move on to item number 10B, which is the introduction for discussion of a drought emergency resolution regulating outdoor irrigation, prohibiting the distribution or appropriation of district water with specified exemptions, and to set a public hearing for October 8th, 2014. It's a very important date. It'll be my birthday. So you're on notice.
Well,
I still celebrate them, yes.
We will make sure for a happy and efficient meeting that day. President Guerrero, members of the board, Pablo Green, your general manager again. In leading off to this, we just in the last day or so have finished the most recent utility billing.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, before I jump into it, Marie, I think that the comments on the bills on the election day and water conservation make it?
They did.
So I think it went something like, election day is on November 4th.
Reminder, election day is November 4th. Reminder, water conservation is every day.
So.
All right.
Very good.
Yeah, we got
great.
Creative.
Compliments of your general manager.
Yes.
The district customers are doing well on the most recent billing period. It was an 18% conservation factor in comparison to the same billing period last year. And we're seeing similar results, you know, throughout the Central Coast, where there is a certain amount of strong conservation that I think is culturally rooted in the Central Coast and is resulting from the drought. Certainly some of the agencies, I think Grover Beach had a much higher factor for their most recent billing period, which is attributable then to the additional efforts that they put out. But we're seeing strong conservation throughout the Central Coast, and the 18% factor for our Oceano customers, you know, should be applauded. They've done a very, very good job. Interestingly is that the water sales revenues only went down 5% in that period of time. And that was a result I was interested in seeing, because the question being, with water conservation, you know, what is going to be the percentage reduction in revenues? And as we previously discussed last month, we'll be doing more analysis on that throughout the remainder of the year and coming back with details after the first of the year. But in any case, you know, kudos to the customers of Oceano for the conservation that they've been successful in so far this year. The draft resolution itself provides the provisions that are required by the State Water Board regulations. Because we have less than 3,000 customers and we deliver less than 3,000 acre feet per year, we don't have the mandates of an urban water supplier. And the basic requirement then is for the outdoor irrigation regulations. And I've outlined a schedule there in order to move forward with that, which is based on one of the challenges that I see in the State Water Board regulations, where they say twice a day, but they provide the ability for your board to do alternative schedules such as those that are being proposed, is that on a twice per day prescribed per week, that's not necessarily the most efficient way to water your plants. And especially in sandy soils, there's inclinations of some then to overwater on those 2 days. And we did have a local landscaper who came in and talked to me about it, developed the schedule in the early morning based on some of his recommendations, including literature that I read on the web. But the idea is to move into smarter outdoor irrigation. Again, I think that that's a move in the right direction. We have a provision in there that would provide me with the authority to work and to sort of tighten it down if the drought persists. The in the grander scheme of the state water regulatory action, it's kind of interesting because I outlined a number of the things that the state has prohibited of all people in California. You know, don't allow water to run down the street, you got to use a shutoff valve and those things. So those aren't required to be in your resolution or in your actions, because that's a mandate on everybody from the State Water Board. The enforcement of that effectively falls back on peace officers. So, for example, the CHP is the state's police force. If they see violations, they can issue tickets. County sheriff, other police, state parks, those are peace officers in certain jurisdictions. So that's how some of those provisions work. But the requirements of your board are addressed. And then we also added in there, you know, the prohibitions against the misuse of a misappropriation or resale of the district's water without your board's granting prescription, with a few exceptions. And so on page 4, and really item 3C, I want to address that. I got some feedback, and this is the exemption for the water systems in Helsium. And the recommendation that I have on that one is to add the language for use in Helsium. And I like that recommendation, because otherwise, you know, the theory is if we exempted the water systems in Helsium, then they might put it in water trucks and pump it and deliver it out.
President Guerrero, I just, and members of the board, I just want to add one thing, because the question came up today about what the penalty would be for violations of this. And the violations are provided by the State Water Board in their resolution, which was codified, and it's the basis of this proposed resolution. And it's a $500 a day fine, but the State Water Resources Control Board also provides the ability that if the $500 a day fine, you can exceed it with other regulations that you think are more appropriate or even more strident, if you were to determine to do so. But for starters, I think we're at a $500 a day fine.
Thank you, legal counsel. That actually refreshes my memory on one other comment I got, which is the reference is back to Section 1 on the findings. And what the resolution says is that fees and charges that for violations of controls during emergencies. And existing in our rules and regulations and ordinances, we have similar language. For example, on backflow preventers or other type of things, if a customer is in violation of the district ordinances, then, for example, if we incur costs in order to enforce compliance, then the customer could be obligated to pay those. So that's a general reference back to our rules and regulations and our controls and the general ability to recover costs if they're incurred, if we have to incur costs under enforcement proceedings. That reference back to Section 1 could have also been a reference back to Sections 2 and 3. But again, Section 1 covers all the findings. And again, that was a response to another comment that I had on enforcement.
Can you go back to page 3 of 19 for me on the exemption, Section 4?
Okay.
And is A, is that correct?
Yeah, so the concept there on de minimis use of less than one unit per bimonthly period.
No.
Minimums. De minimums, that is a typo.
Are those small mums?
They are. That was I was working with that landscape.
De minimums. That's what you're watering is de minimums. Yes,
yeah, only the minimums.
I just want to make sure I wasn't.
Was that your question?
Mary catches the typo every time. Just so you
there's
know.
One in the resolution too.
So
that
I was
week.
I
saw
you're
that.
Pull
it's in
it
the,
off.
I was going to call you on it off,
like,
off camera.
Oh, that's pretty good how he's pronouncing that.
De minimums.
I tried to tread lightly.
Oh gosh.
Go ahead, Mary.
That was it?
That was it.
Okay. I caught the one in the resolution. I figured we'd just fix it.
I asked the writer over here first, and I couldn't figure it out.
The concept, again, is like in the Santa Maria groundwater litigation, in a lot of regulatory, mm-hmm. we exclude very minor uses. And so, you know, if we have a restaurant or something and they've got a little bit of potted plants out front and they got to keep them alive,
right.
We don't want to impact that.
Sorry, I'll make one last comment is that so the board knows that this will have to come back to the board for a hearing, and there's through the government code and the water code, there's a requirement that there's a published notice. It's only a one-time notice, 7 days prior to the hearing. So it will come back to the board should the board decide to give staff direction to move forward.
And go ahead, Mary. I was just going to say, for the notice requirement, what's the least effective and most effective? Least costly and most effective, that's what I'm trying to ask.
Well,
least costly and most effective.
The requirement is a published notice in a newspaper of general circulation. And for this, the direction through the water code is to do a one-day notice. It's one day in the Tribune.
Public humiliation, is that tactic?
It happens at the hearing. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So basically, I think it's good policy, actually, and it's strengthening what we have in place. And I think it's a good thing we should move forward with the public hearings. And I think the public would also agree, you know, that it's really watching our resources closely. It's more than just pipes, but it's good policy too as well. So thank you.
Especially if it doesn't rain.
All right, so we'll give staff that direction and look forward to seeing that on the October 8th. Ms. Naylor, you do
Mary, if it's okay, let's move that and discuss it in the context of future agenda items so you can discuss it then because it's not on the business items calendar. So
why don't we take...
Oh, I thought it was on the agenda. I'm sorry.
Why don't we take...
If we can discuss it in the context of future agenda items, something to discuss in the future, is that...
That's fine with me.
Well, then what is 10B?
What we just did.
Drought emergency resolution regulating. Okay, so that's just the resolution. It's not including the LRO.
That's right. That's
correct.
For our...
Okay, great. Future discussion. That's great. So do you need a motion?
No, we gave staff direction on 10B to set the hearing for October 8th.
Okay. You don't need a motion?
Not until after the hearing.
Staff direction, no.
Once we give the public
after
opportunity
the public
to be
hearing,
heard.
We will have a
correct
a, because
yes.
It is a policy change.
Yes,
correct.
Okay,
this is
I just thought you were just gonna. No, we're never gonna vote on it.
Nope, we're good.
Okay, so after the hearing.
So items great. 14 and 15 received written or late received written communications. Was there anything here, Mr. Ogren?
No, I don't have any items.
Okay. Future agenda items, we just discussed one, LRRP, that's a low reservoir response plan. Is there a response date that's due for this, Ms. Lucy?
The Zone 3 adopted it already, okay. And so each body will be asked to adopt it as well after they discuss it and understand it. So, and then it goes before the Board of Supervisors, and I would have to refer to the county's staff as to what their schedule on that would be.
Okay.
And if I might, so this is an important point. The county staff is willing to come out during the LRRP discussions. Certainly it's one of those topics that I can speak to, like some of the other ones that were referred to earlier. However, I'm not a county representative anymore. And so it's important to have county representatives out here speaking on behalf of the county. There's many people, you know, at the cities and others who could also speak on LRRP and other types of water resource issues. So the county has offered to make sure to have staff come out and talk about what's being proposed on the LRRP. But as Director Lucy, Vice President Lucy had indicated, at the Zone 3 meeting, the public review draft of the LRP has been released. And all of your board members have been given copies through, you know, your inbox and everything. The goal is for the Zone 3 Advisory Committee to have final consideration at the November meeting in order to move for the Board of Supervisors approval in December. So prior to the Zone 3 Advisory Committee's meeting in November, it is hopeful that all of the agencies will adopt the LRRP by resolution. So currently we're working with the county on developing that resolution and the appropriate findings for the LRRP. And I am targeting your meeting of October 22nd in order to have that resolution and the LRRP on your agenda. If individual board members have any comments or questions and want to talk to me about the draft that you all have, that would be great. I am targeting getting any final comments I have on the draft LRRP to the county essentially next Wednesday, October 1st. They're seeking them by October 3rd so that they can get it in final form and distributed in the week of October 6th for other agencies. My understanding is that Arroyo Grande is going to, I think, be considering it on October 14th. But in any case, that's the basic timing. And again, you all have been given copies, and if you have any comments that you want to get back to me, I generally think that it's in good working order. But of course, since it's on the agenda, I'll refrain from going into any of the details that's in the LRP. Just basically outlining the schedule so that we can get it as a future agenda item on October 22nd.
And just to add on to that too, this is so important that the zone is actually scheduling a meeting for November, which they usually don't meet in November mm-hmm. because they need it to go before the Board of Supervisors. And I strongly encourage everybody to read it. And I'm not going to say anything about it, Jeff, so you don't have to give me the evil eye. But this is part of that line item on our bills where it says Lopez. Mm-hmm. So when the public reads this, you know, just don't think of how it impacts your... Correct me if I'm wrong, please do, but are we at 21,000 acre feet right now?
That would be close. The basic estimate is that we would get to 20,000 in December.
Uh-huh. So, just so people understand how close we are.
is that we're running about 21,000 and these policies kick into place at 20,000. So we're, you know, it may be better than others, but it's dangerously low for us.
And what I can ask Tony to do is on his future updates from operations to provide your board with the current statistics on reservoir levels and the other significant data associated with our water resources.
Okay. Thank you.
May I ask?
Yes, please, Karen.
Stupid question.
Never stupid.
Never.
What happens if the Board of Supervisors doesn't get this, if the dam goes down below 20 before this is approved by the Board of Supervisors? It has its, otherwise, it needs to go into effect before it is finally approved by the Board of Supervisors. Would they just go to it, or would you wait?
Well, it's a little bit of a speculative question that's hard for me to answer, but let's say this way. In the current water year, they have already made their allocations. So
that's right.
I don't see, if it wasn't in December and it was in January, I don't see a significant difference there. Needs to be this water year. And certainly what they're doing is, timing-wise, they're targeting this to get it done. So it's done in December, which is about the timing of expecting it to get at that level. So, and everybody seems to be on that page. So, again, I can't get into too much detail, but I think it's on a good track. So,
thank you.
Do you have anything to add, Ms. Blackett?
Just for future agenda items.
Okay, please.
If we're ready to move on. I was asked if we would be hosting a forum at all, or if we would be willing to for the supervisorial candidate race.
We already did. There's one scheduled for October 10th. I think that's going to be the only one, and I can't remember where it is scheduled for, but
for the supervisors race,
yeah. There's already been six of them in the primaries, but there is one scheduled for the 10th. And I'm just blank on who's hosting it and where it is right now.
Is it going to be in Oceano?
No.
Okay, I think that was the question, was if we would have one in Oceano.
Oceano Advisory was who hosted the last one.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's two items on which your board might consider. One is the supervisor's election, and, you know, granted, there's a lot of coverage there. The other one is the OCSD election coming up itself. But I'd kind of like to cover that after we cover the other items on the consent agenda, because it might be appropriate for Director Blackburn to not be in the room while we discuss the other one. So in taking these things in order, let's defer that discussion to the end of the future agenda items. I have some other items too, but of course I want to, you know, walk through your board's comments on future agenda items first.
That's fine.
The only thing I have for the future agenda items is I really want to hear about the sanitation district. I think what's happening and what direction the sand district, where they've come and where they're going and what direction they're going in is of utmost importance to everybody in the area, and I think it would be fascinating.
I will continue to report on it. What I will probably do is come back, depending upon what happens in future meetings at the South Slough CSD, is to come back seeking letters of support, or at least, you know, if not letters of support, direction from the board regarding certain items. Obviously, this is one of the most important things to do, is protect our water resources.
So will you be on the working group with the consulting firm that's doing the basic?
Well,
this is our first study out the door thing.
I can't say just yet. We're going to be entertaining the proposal next week. The clay is still in lump form, shall we say? So,
well, push to get on the working committee, Matt.
Thank you. All right. Is there any other future agenda items then? Well, we have previously discussed a lot, and
there are a few others that I want to sort of bring to your attention. One is on the integrated regional water management grant application. Mm-hmm. This week, the county should be finding out whether or not the projects that have been identified. None specifically for Oceano are in the grant application, but there is one that I discussed in a meeting with State Water on that. I did provide comments on the letter because of the potential impacts on our operations, so I provided a comment letter on that. The other items discussed last meeting included the Five Cities Fire Dispatch, and Director White reported out on that today, so unless there's some other board direction, I won't consider that for a future agenda item. There was, at the last meeting, discussion of pro forma. When we talked about district priorities in September, we all recognized that that is going to be a work in progress, but not an immediate agenda item. On that point, we did do a webinar that addressed asset management, and so we're kind of working on that at the staff level. Zone 1 and 1A assessments and funds letter, my understanding from the last meeting that was going to be more working with the committee members on how the funding there works and maybe a subsequent agenda item with your board as a whole. And the last one that we discussed at the last meeting was a letter to the sheriff about the homeless cleanup. And I'm not, quite honestly sure where we want to go with that.
We just want them to do their job.
Right. And I've been contacted by more than one business owner and resident lately about the homeless issue. And I've had my own issues. And there's a difference, and I draw a distinction, and it may be only my distinction, but there's a difference between people who are down on their luck and the chronic alcohol and drug abuse, vagrancy, theft that goes along with some of these individuals. The sanitation district was having problems. I've run into quite a few of them, and I've been approached again by other employees of other businesses who have had issues, including one of the camping parks where they've just coming to camp, not paying and using the resources, and they can't get them to leave, and have called the sheriffs out with very little response. And so they're having struggles with it as well. The sanitation district, we had them five feet off of the gate and full encampment with the trash and everything that goes along with it, broken items, and there's a real difference there. And it's hard, it's really hard to tell sometimes who's the individual that knows no consequence and has no concern for other people's rights, and who is somebody that is really just down on their luck. And it's hard to tell the difference looking at two of them side by side sometimes. And it's very difficult. It's not a simple issue. And
so, in the grander context of future agenda items, as we discussed last month on general priorities, it's really the remainder of this calendar year that I need to be able to get my head around a number of the details, whether they're financial or our water situation, conservation. What we have tackled so far in the last couple months, is some of the significant water resource policy issues. Mm-hmm. And so those were good, and those that have directly led to the benefits in the development of the RRP and some of the other policy issues from the county's perspective, as previously reported out. So my intent right now is to try to keep the agendas relatively light through the remainder of the calendar year in order to be able to focus in on the fiscal resources in our data management and some of those really important. It's the foundation of the information that really is the basis for your board's decisions.
Now, and at our core function, we're a water company.
Yeah, water and a sewer company.
Right.
Now, certainly, Jeff, District Legal Counsel and I, as we've been working through different issues, have identified a number of things in our ordinances that can be worked on and cleaned up and everything. So we're making notes, and we will be addressing those. But in terms of the immediacy of agenda items, it's those things that we really need to get on your board's action for direction, and then focus in on some of the core analysis like money and our data management and what is it, so that I'm really pretty optimistic that through the end of this calendar year we're going to develop a very good, to-do list of things that will help with, cleaning up the house and everything. So I think that the actions your board has taken over the last couple of months have been productive, and I think we're on a good move. But, you know, again, we've got some of the money stuff that we've really got to be able to address, and that's going to take a little bit of time.
Agreed.
And so on that point, I really encourage individual board members that if you have issues that are pressing in your mind and you're wondering when they might be on the agenda, then, you know, give me a call and we can sit down and talk and have some of those one-on-one discussions as well in order to address any concerns that you might have.
In regard to the letter to the sheriff, I think
it's forum for the CSD election.
All right. Ms. Blackburn's going to recuse herself as a candidate. What are your thoughts on a potential candidate forum there, Papa?
So some of the feedback that I've been getting from the community is just the idea that provide each candidate with like 5 minutes in order to make a speech. You know, no real questions and answers. And I thought that would be appropriate because there's two concerns I have. One is if your board were to get into a Q&A session with the various candidates, might it be perceived as being, you know, a biased type of a Q&A? And I think we want to avoid that. My other concern would be, however the order is established, that I really think that the candidates who aren't speaking should not be in the room. And the reason why is that if I happen to be the first candidate that went forward and the structure was I have 5 minutes to speak, well, the second and the third candidates would have the ability to rebut some of the statements that I made, and I wouldn't have an opportunity to do a point-counterpoint on it. So my recommendation, if your board is inclined to have the candidates, is to make it simple. Give them each 5 minutes to speak and present, you know, why they're running for office. And then, you know, again, make sure that we have a room so that the candidates who aren't speaking don't get to hear what the other ones say, so we don't get into a one-sided rebuttal type of a situation. In terms of the timing, it would seem most appropriate at your next meeting, where that obviously it would simply be an invitation from the district to
sure, and they don't have to respond if they don't want to.
Yeah, and the timing there would be appropriate because then, you know, first I was thinking the October 22nd because that's closer to Election Day. However, we have a significantly increased number of individuals who do absentee ballots. Mm-hmm. And so if your board was so inclined, it would seem appropriate for your October 8th meeting.
Why don't we set it for 10-8 for a special presentation prior to, we'll do it on as item number 6.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why don't we do that 5 minutes? I like the proposal, 5 minutes. We can hone it. If anybody has any concerns, they can let Mr. Ogren know. But we'll do a random draw. We'll exclude the other two candidates during the presentations.
Director White.
Go ahead, Ms. White.
Is this within our purview? Can we host a thing like this? I don't know whether we can or not. We're getting into politics a little more than.
Yeah, well, we're not endorsing. What do you think, Jeff? Do you have something you need to look at between now and the 8th?
It's something I'll certainly look at. My initial thought on this is that really what you're doing is you're providing an opportunity for candidates for this board to have an opportunity to talk to constituents that might not otherwise hear them, and it is televised, so I don't necessarily see a problem with it at first blush, and there has been a history of the district doing this in the past, from what I understand. So is that incorrect?
I don't remember. I don't know.
Okay.
League of Women Voters did it
before, I know.
I'll look into it, but at least at this point, and I'll inform the board and Mr. Ogren if I see an issue otherwise.
Yeah, and if there's a problem with that, too, is that it can go through the Oceano Advisory Committee as well. I mean, if this board's a problem with doing that, because they are applying to sit at this table, right? I think it would be great to hear from people.
Yeah.
You know, where it's fair, you know, it's, yeah, we don't know what seat people are applying for, but that we know that there are some names of people who have applied, you know, right. to run for office. So
it certainly makes common sense, because especially with the televised proceedings, people who care have an opportunity to hear it. You know, it's important that this board doesn't weigh in one way or another, which I don't imagine you would do.
Right.
Could it be done prior to the meeting?
I think the meetings are set by the bylaws, and so it would make sense to do it as special presentations, keep it within the context.
And then also, too, is then we would be spending additional funds from AGP mm-hmm. to cover it before, and we don't want to do that to taxpayers' dollars.
Yes, I think there's
so
another reason why.
Fold it into what the expenditures that are happening at the current time.
Correct.
Yeah. So, but you'll let us know if it's not. Otherwise,
yeah. So
it's on the agenda.
The discussion so far that legal counsel and I have had is
like the two candidates for board of supervisor, or do we feel that they've had enough exposure? Just a question, because they also represent us.
So will everybody who's running for office come in and speak at that time?
Well, several of them did before the primary.
Yeah.
Well, let them get a hold of us. And
yeah. They also have the right to make public comment.
Well, I think we should limit just to our people. You know, the candidates for this board, yeah.
Right.
I think we just, I don't know, my
keep
thinking would just keep it simple. Right.
Yeah.
Keep it OCSD.
Well, because pretty soon if we run an hour, that's going to cost the taxpayers money.
Correct.
The other end, too. Yeah.
And on that note.
All right. Anything else, or can we move to closed session?
I have no other comments.
All right. Why don't we have two closed session items pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6, Conference with Labor Negotiators, Agency Designated Representative, Vice President Mary Lucy. The employee organization is the Service Employees International Union 620. Item B is pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subsection D, Subsection 4, Conference with Legal Counsel to determine whether to initiate litigation, number of cases 1. Is there public comment on closed session this evening? Seeing none, we will adjourn. It is 7:52 p.m. We'll go to the front.
Oh, we forgot Jennifer back there.
All right, Jerry, you ready? AGP? All right, we'll call this meeting back to order. It is 8:29 p.m. We've just returned from closed session. There is no reportable action at this time. And with no further ado, we'll adjourn at 8:29.
So move.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night.